morning, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of Thursday in the Doghouse. I'm your host, Renee Premeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer. Thursday in the Doghouse is a radio talk show devoted to the subject of dogs. Our sole intent in presenting this program is to inform you, the dog-owning community, about everything concerning our pet dogs. We discuss their behavior and why they do the things they do. We talk about their health issues, diet, and nutritional needs. We discuss how to raise puppies and how to help acclimate the shelter and rescue dog into its forever home with as few problems as possible. Last week, our show focused on how to research and choose a responsible and quality breeder. Researching breeders and specific breeds is an absolute necessity if you want to make sure to wind up with a dog that is both physically and mentally healthy and one that fits your own personal lifestyle. If you've tuned in today for the very first time and you'd like to hear our past programs, go to my website, www.jerseydogtrainer.com, and click on the page marked Rainey's Radio Show. You'll see a page full of podcast links from all the shows we've done. Scroll down the entire page to see which subjects are most interesting to you. Click on those links and listen to them. They're all about 30 minutes long. My guest today is Marthina McClay, who is a certified pet dog trainer from San Jose, California. Marthina conducts classes for all breeds of dogs. She's been doing training since the 1970s, and she's certainly aware of how dog training has changed over the years. And she's also been rescuing dogs, specifically pit bulls, for the last 5 years. She has an incredible story to tell us today about a rescue dog named Leo. Before we talk to Marthina, please let me tell you what services I offer as a professional dog trainer and behavior consultant in the South Jersey area. Is your dog always in the doghouse? Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? Your dog needs training. Hi, I'm Renee Premeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and I train dogs using only positive-based methods. My services include private training right in your own home. I also offer group puppy kindergarten classes starting at 8 weeks of age and group classes for adolescent and adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age. All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338 or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Good morning, Marthina. Thank you very much for visiting us in the doghouse today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
I'm very happy to have you here. You have a company, and I believe it's called Our Pack Rescue. That's your rescue organization?
Yes, that's correct. We're a 501c3 nonprofit.
Okay. And you rescue pit bulls, and how you've been rescuing for 5 years?
Well, actually, a little more than that. You know, technically with the organization's been a 501c3 for about 4 years now, but there was a lot of rescue that I did, you know, before that just by myself.
I see. We're talking today about a specific dog named Leo. He's a pit bull. How did you first meet Leo?
Well, how I first met him, you know, I first heard about the Michael Vick case, and I had contacted Rebecca Huss, who was the guardian special master for the Michael Vick dogs. There was an application process that you had to go through. You had to have experience with pit bulls. You know, you had to be a pit bull experienced rescue and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was, you know, our rescue was approved, take him in, and I was sent some videos and had long conversations with Rebecca about him and his behavior. And, you know, that's sort of how I first met him was through a through a video.
Well, why did you choose, Leo, or did they choose him for you?
Well, what happened was there were dogs that some rescues had taken, you know, that they took on their own, and then I think there were some that went to Best Friends. I think there was 22 that went to Best Friends, mm-hmm. and then, you know, there were, it kind of seemed as though there were some that were left over.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really feel like they were chosen for us, but this is what was there, and there were several dogs that Rebecca actually had talked about RPAC taking. And unfortunately, I wished we could have taken, you know, 4 or 5, but, or, you know, whatever we could, but I just couldn't. At that time, I didn't have the resources in the foster homes, you know, to take more than one.
I see.
But Leo just had an outgoing, optimistic, enthusiastic personality, even in the video, and I had actually had said that I thought he would make a good therapy dog.
Really?
And I had emailed, I actually saved the email, and I had emailed it back and forth, you know, to several of us were going back and forth about the video, and there was actually a joke made saying, well, if you could get him to sit still, you know, because he just bounced all over the place. He just was like a giant, you know, crazy puppy.
What exactly did you learn about Leo's history being in that environment with Michael Vick?
It's hard to say exactly what his history was, you know, because there's not a lot of detail about Leo specifically. You know, there were many dogs there,
okay.
And I think all of them probably experienced similar things, and some of them experienced different things.
Mm-hmm.
I could tell by his behavior, though, that he wasn't well socialized. You know, certainly he didn't go to puppy socials and, you know, go to puppy training and that kind of thing. You know, so I could see that he definitely needed to, you know, have remedial socialization, definitely training. You know, he really didn't have any training. He was jumping on everybody and, you know, nipping like a puppy and, you know, basically just kind of, you know, being, I always say, a caveman at a tea party.
Well, how old was he, Martina?
He was about 2.
2 years old at that time?
Yes.
Okay. What was his physical condition like?
His physical condition by the time I got him was actually pretty good because he had been in an interim shelter for over 6 months.
Okay. He was where? In a shelter?
Yes. He was in a shelter in Virginia.
After he left Vic's facility?
Correct.
Oh, I see. So he didn't come directly to you?
No. Nobody got the dogs directly.
I see.
That didn't happen, I don't think, with it, you know, maybe some people, but it wasn't that type of thing because they were, you know, Rebecca Huss was the guardian special master, and it was really up to her to decide where the dogs were going to go.
Okay.
And during that time and during the court proceedings and, you know, the court approval system and that sort of thing, that took a while. That was, you know, about 6 months long. And that right there was a lot of the suffering for the dogs, I think.
Absolutely. And pit bulls do not do well in shelters for a long period of time.
Well, dogs don't do well in shelters.
Correct.
I mean,
I know.
Find, you know, many,
right.
It's not really a breed thing. I find that it's really just a dog thing.
Well,
especially dogs that have, you know, they've lived on chains for a lot of their lives.
Right.
Had these humdrum, boring, understimulated lives, and now they're going to go sit in a kennel for 6 months. It's just.
Do you know if they were allowed to be walked, especially because they may have been dogs used for evidence? Because I know around here, if a dog is put into a shelter as being part of evidence, they're not even allowed to be walked.
Right. I think that there was some of that, and I think that there was, you know, some kennel enrichment. I know that some people did, you know, were able to take them out, work with them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they had to just be locked behind the chain link,
okay.
You know,
mm-hmm.
terminally or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a book out called The Lost Dogs by Jim Grant,
mm-hmm.
and it is really a fantastic book, and if anybody really wants to know detail by detail account of the case and really what happened, including, which I think is incredible, including what the dogs saw and heard.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it really does come through the dogs' eyes and what they experienced. That would be a great book to read, and you really get some detail about what did happen and what the what the dogs experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's really worth reading. It's a wonderful book.
Mm-hmm. What physical condition was Leo in when you first got him?
He really was in pretty good condition.
Good.
You know, like I said, he was in an interim shelter, so it's not like,
mm-hmm.
you know, any illnesses he had or anything, I'm sure he would have been treated, you know, if he had any, if he was sick or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his weight was good, looked good.
Mm-hmm.
Did he
really
show
the mental state more
yes.
than anything?
Right. So was he fearful of people?
No, and a good part of them were. A good part of them were fearful of people. Some
mm-hmm.
of them weren't, but this guy really was not.
Mm-hmm. So you saw no aggressive behavior from him at all towards humans?
Not at all.
And what about other dogs?
He seemed under-socialized and uncomfortable, understandably, around my dogs.
Okay.
I had 3 pit bulls of my own at the time. So, you know, he seemed a little bit like, you know, what are we doing here? What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And was definitely not comfortable, not trusting. Over time, just exposing him to dogs in, you know, a nice, positive, neutral, and quiet, and calm environment with, you know, good leadership and that sort of thing. Over
mm-hmm.
time, it became no problem whatsoever.
Did your own dog seem patient with him?
Yes.
That's great.
Very much so. My own dogs, it's almost like they can see it.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
we've worked on many cases since the Vic case.
Mm-hmm.
So we've seen a few of these guys that, mm-hmm. you know, come from some of these cases. Actually, most of them are not much different than what you see coming from a shelter, and some of them are. And it's all very much an individual thing. They're very much individuals.
Mm-hmm.
But they, most of the time when I bring these guys home, my dogs can see it, again, individually. Oh, this one seems kind of insecure. We're just going to lay off and turn our heads to the side, show the side of our body, sniff the ground, walk away, not really try to approach the dog at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes it's automatically they're ready to play right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it's very individual, and that's why I'm really glad that we're doing more and more of these cases to show that each dog is an individual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their behavior and their temperament and their disposition and all of that is really very much a separate thing and has to be judged on their own their own merit,
mm-hmm.
not based on where they've lived.
So they seem to be able to rebound, many of them, from this horrendous situation that they've been put into.
Absolutely.
That's
the
great.
Bounce back is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely Leo's bounce back is incredible. I mean, it was in 5 weeks he was a certified therapy dog.
In
5 weeks.
That is incredible.
Yes. And also he was just so willing to work. Really very trainable and very willing to work.
What was involved, Martina, in the training that you put him through to become a therapy dog? What did you work with him on?
Well, most of it was sit and down and stay and look or, you know, watch me. Definitely leash walking so that, you know, he would walk near me and not walk out in front of me. One of the things that you need when you do have a therapy dog, like, you can't come barreling down a corridor. You know, there might be a patient walking with a cane or, you know, something like that. You
mm-hmm.
have to have the dog near you. He definitely has to be under your control.
Right.
You know, one thing I want to say about therapy dogs, too, and what I found with these dogs is that they really like being with people, and they like being touched, and they like being petted. And even if somebody has an unsteady, quivering hand, or they have a funny sound to their voice, or they have an unsteady walk, they're very willing to receive touching and attention from people.
Right. That's
and
wonderful.
This is something I feel it's like they're born for that. It's
mm-hmm.
like that it's in them. Like, you can't train somebody to love somebody.
Mm-hmm.
They either do or they don't. Love is not a trainable thing. It's something that's in somebody. And I really do see this time and time again. These dogs are just like, oh, I want to be loved, and I want to love back and be touched and cuddled and hugged. And That's Leo.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the 5 weeks. Is the fact that he's like, wow, I really love doing this work. And the therapy work itself is the reward for him. I don't have to bring food. I don't have to bring treats. Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Did you train him? During the process of your training, was food not his reward? What else did you use as rewards?
I started with food, and I realized very quickly with him, again, everyone is an individual.
Absolutely.
Some are going to be more food motivated. Some are going to be ball or toy motivated. Some are going to be motivated by praise or affection.
Right.
He was just so moved by affection and attention and just talking to him and looking at him and saying, wow, you're such a handsome, good boy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just to say that to him,
it's like
it plugs in something for him.
That's great.
That really did it. I started out with food and I went, what am I even, he doesn't care near as much about that as he does just me putting my hand, you know, on his ear and give him an ear scritch and tell him how great he is.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So after 5 weeks of training, did he get his Canine Good Citizenship Award?
We didn't do all the whole full paperwork. He did pass the test, and actually with Therapy Dogs Incorporated, you don't have to have a CGC.
It's all included in their training.
Exactly. There's an exam that's almost identical to the CGC that they do.
Right.
And then there's 3 observations after that that have to be done in a medical facility.
Mm-hmm.
When you do those, then that's when you pass. And they have to be done on separate days as well.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So, and he's also okay with other dogs, so that if in your travels you start to see other dogs on the outside, or if there's another dog visiting the facility where you bring him, he's perfectly okay.
He's totally fine.
He has no issues, this dog.
Point.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, you know, and again, it's really much, very much an individual thing. You know, some are going to recover very quickly. Some don't need any recovery. Some are just like, hey, I'm fine. I'm over that. And then some are more shut down, maybe fearful of new circumstances, new environments, and they need a lot more work. Some may recover only a certain amount to a certain degree, and then, you know, not much after that. So it's so much an individual thing, and I think that's why this is so important to talk about this aspect of it, is that, you know, we at least want people to go and look. Let's not just say they're this or they're that and group this together and profile this to a point where, well, the dog came from this address and he had this owner, so this is probably what he's like. That's what we really want to get away from.
Right, and I believe that after the situation where the Vic dogs were discovered, I believe that it took quite a bit of work to convince the powers that be not to euthanize every single one of them.
It was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. What a horrible thing that would have been, right?
You know, some organizations, and this is also talked about in the book, very specifically.
Mm-hmm.
So it's another reason to look at the book, is to look at what sort of, you know, forces on the outside were saying, no, they're better off just being euthanized.
Right.
And it's interesting because I think a lot of us probably didn't know what to think, but I do remember saying, also, this is also talked about in the book, when I first saw, in April of 07, I was talking to someone in my living room, and CNN was on in the background, just the TV was going in the background, and I just suddenly hear this, Michael Vick has been arrested on charges of dog fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned, and I mean, it just stopped me in my tracks. I went, what? And they talked about how many dogs and this sort of thing, and I went, you know, that's really a shame, because it would really be nice if America could see what those dogs would be like, because there's a platform there that's very visible for the world to see what the dogs really are.
Mm-hmm.
And because I thought, you know, I thought they might be put down. That's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember saying to this person, I said, you know, it would be great if somebody could take a couple of those dogs and make them therapy dogs and just show the world what they are. And that ended up being what happened.
Isn't that nice? What a great accomplishment that you did with this dog. I mean, surely it was a lot of teamwork. Leo specializes in working with cancer patients, I understand.
Yes, he does. He goes to an infusion center in Mount Vernia, And it's really where people receive chemotherapy for cancer treatment.
Right.
And, you know, to say the least, that's not fun.
Right, exactly.
That's not a fun thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's perfect because they sit in sort of like soft recliner chairs, and then they have their IVs, and, you know, they can sit and read or pull the curtain and try to take a nap.
Mm-hmm.
But what they really have enjoyed is having Leo come, put his head on their laps. They can pet his head, talk about him, talk about a dog they had in the past,
mm-hmm.
which brings about positive feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's already been proven that, you know, just petting a dog, even petting a cat, our blood pressure is lower.
Sure does.
Our,
mm-hmm.
you know, we de-stress to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had patients tell me that they just feel better petting him. They can kind of forget about the chemotherapy for a few minutes. And when they find out where he comes from, a lot of them will say, well, where did you get him? And I'll say, well, he was a Michael Vick dog.
Right.
And they start, their jaw drops, their eyes pop out. They just go, what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, right. It's shocking.
It is shocking.
Everybody knows him now, but initially that's what happened. And I had a couple of patients tell me that, you know, I look at what his life was like and what he went through and look at him now.
Mm-hmm.
And if he can do that, I can get through this.
And that's great. And that's wonderful. That in itself is extremely healing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And he's just wonderful at his job. He's probably the best therapy dog I've ever had.
That's wonderful. That's great. So before they know that he's a Vic dog, are any of them kind of intimidated when you bring the pit bull around?
You know, I haven't really seen a lot of that.
Good.
There were a couple of them, actually, that kind of sat back and went, wow, look at him. I mean, because he's got this big, fat head.
Yeah.
And
I
they
saw
go,
his
whoa.
Videos. Yeah.
When they first see him sometimes. And I'll say, you know, we always ask, would you like a visit from a therapy dog?
Mm-hmm.
What we ask.
Right.
And they'll say, well, I don't know. And we start talking, and I see that he's standing there next to me, wagging his tail and being very, you know, very calm,
mm-hmm.
and very obedient and being very good. And then they start to, you can see their face start to change. And
mm-hmm.
one patient actually did tell me that Leo completely changed his mind about pit bulls or dogs that look like pit bulls. Just, you know, completely changed his mind.
Is that right? And was he afraid of him at first? Do you think?
I wouldn't say afraid. It wasn't like he was shaking in his boots or anything, but he just kind of had a look, like leaned back, like, wow, that's a big
pit
boy.
Bull. Yeah.
Head.
Yeah.
You know, Leo's not that big. He's uh-huh. a, you know, average, a little above average, I guess 59 pounds.
Right,
but
right.
He has this really big, gorgeous face.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I mean, I give everybody your website, Martina, because on your website you can find out, if you do a little research, you find out all these other videos that you can watch of Leo, and that's what impressed me so much.
Oh, wonderful.
What is your website so people see that?
It's OurPack.org.
Okay, and then they can read about Leo. Now, Leo also won, he won an achievement award. What is that all about?
Well, that's through Animal Farm Foundation. They're a wonderful foundation. They're very supportive of rescues, of, you know, the rescue dogs that look like pits. And they are just, you know, very supportive. They're at animalfarmfoundation.org.
Okay.
And you can go on there and see the incentive programs that they have for rescues. They're just really helpful. So when people work hard and the dogs work hard and everybody's working together to help the dogs, they say, hey, we want to help you. And that's kind of how that started, you
mm-hmm.
know, because, you know, Leo works hard at his job. And he got rewarded for it, and I think it's wonderful that they do that.
I think so, too. I think that's great. That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about your rescue group, just a little bit. When you rescue pit bulls, do you try to make all of them therapy dogs if you see that potential in them?
Yes, we do. We've worked on, as I said before, in many other cases, you know, dogs coming from dog fighting rings, and many of those are also therapy dogs now.
Okay.
You know, and it also depends on whether or not the adopter wants to do that, wants to continue that work with
right.
the dogs. So
right.
that's another aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people just, they may not be into it, like, someone else would be into doing therapy work. But yeah, I find that most of them are, you know, in that category of, you know, as I said earlier, you know, wanting to be touched and loved, and you know, that work is actually naturally very rewarding for them.
Yeah. Martina, can you also give us the name of the book that you just referred to so that we have that, and so that people can, you know, get that book if they're interested in reading about this subject?
Sure. It's The Lost Dogs by Jim Grant. And one thing that they're doing is if you go to ourpack.org on the front page, if you purchase from that link, we get a small proceed from that.
Excellent. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that today, as a matter of fact.
Wonderful.
I want to read that book, and I think I'd like to, if I'm lucky enough, maybe I'll be able to contact the author and have him talk to us a little bit here on Thursday in the Doghouse.
Sure. I think that would be, he's wonderful.
Great.
He really did his research, and he really did his homework.
I'll
and
bet.
Did a very nice job on the book.
I'll bet. Martina, thank you very much for visiting with us today in the Doghouse.
Thank you for having me.
You for sharing your story about Leo with us, and thank you for doing the wonderful work that you do with these dogs.
Oh, thanks so much.
You have a great day.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
We'll take a commercial break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Is your dog always in the doghouse? Does he greet people by jumping all over them? Does she chew your shoes and steal your undies? Guess what? Your dog needs training. Hi, I'm Rini Premeza, the Jersey Dog Trainer, and I train dogs using only positive-based methods. My services include private training right in your own home. I also offer group puppy kindergarten classes starting at 8 weeks of age and group classes for adolescent and adult dogs beginning at 5 months of age. All group classes are held at Dog Days Camp for Canines, 23 West Main Street, Marlton, New Jersey. For more information, please contact me at 609-280-9338. Or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. Again, that's 609-280-9338. Or on the web at www.jerseydogtrainer.com. With the Christmas holidays fast approaching, many of you are planning to purchase puppies as gifts, either for your kids or someone else who's very special to you. Many people think it's a great idea to buy a puppy at this time of the year for their elderly parents, thinking that that would keep them from getting lonely. I'd like to take this opportunity to say it's not a good idea to get a puppy during the winter months. I hate to put a kibosh on your plans, but the truth is the cold weather creates huge problems for house training puppies and for getting the puppies out and about to socialize them with lots of people, other puppies, and exposing puppies to the outside world. All of this work has to be done by the time your new puppy is 12 weeks old. Ask yourself if, realistically, you're going to be able to accomplish this critically important work when it's 10 to 20 degrees outside or when we have a snowstorm. Please think carefully before getting puppies at this time of the year. Maybe wait until the end of March, the beginning of April, before you decide to get that new ball of fur. Well, that's Duke letting me know our time is up. Please tune in again next week. My guest will be South Jersey homeopathic veterinarian, Dr. Michael Dim, who will be talking to us about diabetes in dogs. I hope you join us then. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next Thursday morning from 10 to 10:30 right here on WNJC 1360 AM. Have a great week, everybody.